Yeah, we'll repeat them. We're going to repeat all the questions into the mic, and then Stephen, who will be taking most of them, will come up and speak into the mic. And Arlene, you were standing. You had my question. Well, that's good. You can ask it. You phrase it. Yeah, the basic question, which is the one which came out to me, and I know one or two of you had this thought on your heart. When Stephen was sharing yesterday, he was talking about this matter of divine order. He said before Pentecost, it was brothers and sisters being there together and sharing together. But after Pentecost, it was Peter who stood up with the 11. And I think the exact phrase that Stephen used was because it was more public, it was then the brothers and not the sisters. And so, Stephen, would you like to come and underline this a little more of what you meant by that? I know one or two have that problem. Well, if you could say a little more.
What I'm trying to hint at is when the Holy Spirit came upon the 120, all the 120 began to speak in other tongues, magnify the Lord, and when people came around them, you'll find that both the man and the woman of the 120, they were there magnifying the Lord, speaking of the great things of God to those people that gathered around them. But you can imagine, well, maybe I go back a little bit, when you read Acts chapter 2, and the Holy Spirit came upon the 120, and then the rumor began to spread, and people began to come. Now remember, when people began to come to them, it cannot be that they remained in that upper room, because that upper room could not accommodate 3,000 people. So evidently, when this began to gather, evidently they moved from the upper room, and possibly to Solomon's porch, because that will be the natural place for the people together. So when they first came together, to me, that is the way I look at it, and that is when people began to gather. Possibly they gather in small groups. Here a group, there a group, you know, it is very informal. And people were just coming, and there you'll find the 120. They were all there magnifying the Lord and speaking of the great things of God, both the man and the woman. It was under that atmosphere. You'll find how it began. And then came the time when Peter and the 11 stood up and addressed the whole crowd. So immediately you'll find the gathering began to change from that which is rather informal into a more formal type of gathering. And it was under that kind of atmosphere that Peter and the 11 stood up. That is, the man began to take their place in such a public atmosphere. So what I'm trying to convey is this. The gift of God knows no partiality. The Holy Spirit came upon both the men and the women. And they all spoke in tongues. And the tongues that he spoke there, now there are different interpretations again. Now, certainly the tongues there are not unknown tongues. Because when they spoke, people understood. Now, some people say probably on the day of Pentecost, actually the miracle was not in the tongue, but in the hearing. They spoke, and different people hear their own language. It is almost like a simultaneous interpretation, but done by the Holy Spirit instead of done by the interpreters. Now, that is one interpretation. They were all speaking with other tongues, but the same tongue, and then people, when they heard it, it was all different tongues and different languages. Now, that was one interpretation. My own interpretation, if you will accept it, is Because they were in groups. So possibly God gave this brother, the tongue, a lacking language. Or God will give to the other person a language that is used in Galatia. So you find that these 120, they were speaking in different languages. And naturally, people of different background will gather around the language that they understand. Now, I personally feel that is more logical. Because otherwise, it would be just chaotic. You know, 120 people and all gathered in one group. Now, how are you going to hear anything? So, for me, I feel it's more logical it was done in such a fashion. The Holy Spirit came upon all of them. They all received the gift of the other tongue. And they all function. All minister, all function as the Holy Spirit directed. But then, the atmosphere began to change. From that which is rather informal into that which is more formal. And this is the time when the divine order sets in. So, under that kind of divine order, you'll find the man took a more prominent part. And the woman took a more supporting part. So, this is what I'm trying to say. I don't know if that answers your question or not.
No. I'd like to bring a secondary question. It comes out to me. If that is so, is it ever right, then, for it to be in a situation like which you've called a more formal situation, for a woman to be able to teach? And maybe to move along with that, this question which we've got here, which I think goes along a little with it, where it's talking about that scripture in 1 Corinthians 14:34 about the woman keeping silent in the churches. Now, is it ever right for a woman to be able to teach in a more formal atmosphere? And how does that scripture tie in there with about the woman keeping silent in the churches?
First of all, I think to understand 1 Corinthians 14, let the woman be silent. You have to understand the whole book of 1 Corinthians. You cannot explain that verse by itself. Not even by that chapter. You have to understand that verse by the whole book of 1 Corinthians. Now, 1 Corinthians is written by Paul to the church in Corinth. The nature of that letter is basically corrective. That is to say, Paul wrote this book to the church in Corinth to correct something. Something were done. And here, Paul wrote this letter trying to correct situations. So basically, the first letter to the Corinthians is a corrective letter. Paul was with the Corinthian believers for a year and 6 months. And during that year and 6 months, he taught them with diligence, because Paul always worked diligently. Day and night, most likely. You will wonder, during those 1 year and 6 months, how came that Paul never told them how to meet? Paul gathered them together around the Lord, but evidently he never told them how they should meet. He never told them whether the sisters should speak or not. He never laid down any rules and regulations governing meetings. Now that is something amazing. If it were we, what would we do? After people got saved, we gather them together. The first thing we would do is we will lay down some rules and regulations. Now, this is the way you shall meet. Now, that's natural. That's what we will do. But strange to say, for a year and 6 months, Paul never say a word about how they should meet. Why? Because if at the very beginning you lay down rules and regulations, life will be immediately restricted in its growth. So evidently, Paul just said, come together, assemble together, exhorting one another, encourage one another, meeting around the Lord, and that's it. There was no rule, no regulation, not even any order ordered. In other words, the meetings of the saints were so spontaneous and so free. It was under that kind of atmosphere that life is able to develop, to grow. But as they continue to meet together, gradually as life began to grow, then you'll find an order will come out of life. Now that is the difference between an organism and an organization. An organization begins with order, with man-made order. Because if you do not have a man-made order to start with, you won't get an organization. You must have a system first. And let everybody know the system. And everybody just follow that system and keep within the system. Then the whole organization would run. Now that is an organization. But an organism is very different. An organism is based on life. Not a system, but life. But there is order in life. And this order will come out, will be manifested as life grows. So, divine order is not something that you lay down beforehand as a rule. Divine order is something that grows out of life. And that is the beauty of order. So here you'll find in the church in Corinth, Paul did not lay down any order, any rules. The Christians just come together freely and spontaneously around the Lord and exhorting and ministering one to another for the building up of the body. But as life began to grow, there ought to be a consciousness within life that there is an order. It is a consciousness that ought to be there. And if anyone neglects that consciousness, he is neglecting the voice of the Holy Spirit. And unfortunately, in Corinth, this was the case. Evidently, there were some very gifted sisters in the church in Corinth. The word of God did come to them, and they did teach a great deal. And possibly they intimidated the brothers. And yet the word began to come to the brothers too. But the sisters will not give. And it was under that kind of situation, Paul said, there is a divine order in the church. The brothers represent Christ. The sisters represent the church. There ought to be an order that the brothers should take a more leading and prominent part in the church. and the sisters should take more of a supporting part in the church. That's the reason why Paul say these things. Let your woman be silent. In other words, here you'll find life has grown to a certain degree, and it should be ordered, so that the growth may be increased instead of being hindered and grow abnormally. Now the word silent there, you find in the same chapter of 1 Corinthians 14, the word silence has been used more than once. Well, maybe it's good to look at it. First Corinthians 14. The first word silence in that chapter is used concerning speaking of tongues. Now, I cannot find it now. 28? Thank you. Verse 28. But if there be no interpreter, let him be silent in the assembly, and let him speak to himself and to God. So you find the silence there is not just for the women only. Actually, the silence there is a matter of divine order. You know, it has nothing to do with gift. The gift is there. Someone is speaking in tongues. The gift is there. But because there is no interpreter, therefore in the church, one who speaks in tongues and yet it is not interpreted, the church is not edified. So there is the divine order. If you speak in tongues and you have no interpretation, let you be silent. Be silent. You just within your heart speak to God. It's a matter of order, not a matter of gift. And then you find the second word silent in verse 30. But if there be a revelation to another sitting there, let the first be silent. Now that's even more. Here is a prophet who is prophesying, and suddenly someone sitting there has a revelation. But the revelation is so fresh. So the one who is prophesying, he has to sit down and let the one who has the revelation to give that revelation. And let the one who is prophesying be silent. Now you can see very well, it is a matter of divine order. It has nothing to do with gift. It is all a matter of divine order. And now the third silence is concerning the women. Let your woman be silent in the assembly. For it is not permitted to them to speak, but to be in subjection, as the law also says. It has nothing to do with gift. Because if you read the following verse, you will find verse 36, did the word of God go out from you, or did it come to you only? In other words, Paul recognizes that the word of God did come to these women. They had the gift. But because it is in the church. Because there is an order in the church. So if there are brothers who are able to speak, if the word of God come to the brothers also, then the sisters will be silent. In other words, they are willing voluntarily to let the brother as a matter of divine order. And I believe when this happens, it really builds up the church, and it really is beautiful. And as you read following, you'll find verse 37. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize the things that are right to you, that it is the Lord's commandment. But if any be ignorant, let him be ignorant. So here you'll find it is basically a matter of order, and it is. This order is to be kept in the Spirit. Even though Paul said, let him know it is a commandment of the Lord. And yet he said, if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Why? Because the whole thing is not legalistic. The whole thing is a matter of the Spirit. If a sister has that Spirit of Christ in him, in her, she would rather see in the church that a brother would speak. Or to put it in another way, it will be something against her nature. It will be something difficult for him, her, if she has to speak, because the brothers do not speak. You know, you have to look at it in that way. Do not look at it in the way that the sisters are put down. Now you cannot speak, you must be silent, you know. Do not look at it in that way, because that is not the spirit behind it. If you take it in that legalistic way, it will create arrogance in the brothers, and it will create a kind of humiliation with the sisters. No, that should never happen. It should be voluntary, even though it is the Lord's commandment, and yet it should be voluntary. It should be something that really comes within the spirit. And if that is the case, how beautiful it will be. So let me say again, do not try in the very beginning, when brothers and sisters come together, to take a verse out of its context and then just apply it upon the gathering. If you do that, the letter kills. Never do that. But let life express it itself spontaneously and freely, with no restriction whatsoever, until life grows to a certain degree, and inwardly you will know there is an order that life will love to keep. Because if you don't keep that order, life will suffer. Now, I do not know if we all will take it that way. I don't know. But I do feel, do not take it in a legalistic way. That is something we try to avoid. And that is the reason why I tried to avoid yesterday touching upon these things. In a sense, I feel if you can really understand the two principles that we have mentioned, and if you really go through the New Testament and see the ministry of these sisters, I hope these problems are all solved. That is the way it should be solved. It should be solved by your going to the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to apply these principles in your life. I think that would be the best to do. It is very dangerous if we try to lay down some rules and regulations and say, this you can do, that you cannot do. I think that would be most dangerous and most damaging. I don't want to do that. I try to avoid it. But you'll let me. But anyway, I do hope that not only the sisters, but also the brothers in the assembly shall all go to the Lord and inquire of the Lord about this matter. When the brothers see that the sisters are speaking and teaching in the church, don't criticize them. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, why is it? Wherein have we failed in the house of God? The brothers ought to be head, representing Christ. It is the head that should speak. But now the body is full of mouths, and the head is sealed. Why? Something is wrong. Something is wrong with the brothers. Now, do not always be hard on the sisters. Something's wrong with the brothers. Where are the brothers? If God cannot find the brothers, God has had to use the sisters. Nothing wrong with that. Even with 1 Corinthians 14, brothers and sisters, Paul said, does the word of God come to you, women, alone? Now, if the word of God come to women alone, certainly the woman should speak. Otherwise, how can the church be edified? But something's wrong there. Wrong with the brothers. The brothers should go to the Lord, humble themselves before the Lord, take their place in the church. And if you do that, the word of God will come to you. And you will be able to edify the church. And when the sisters see that God has raised up brothers who can speak the word and edify the church, oh, how happy they should be. And say, now, we don't need to do something against our nature. We can support them. We can fulfill our part in the church instead of doing everything in the church. Now, brothers and sisters, I think that should be the spirit. That should be the atmosphere. Now, another thing. Probably you are asking. Can a sister ever teach in a mixed congregation? We struggled over this matter for many years. When we first started in China, God raised up some women, started the work with Brother Lee. Four women in particular, very gifted. We thank God for that. Without these four women, the work just could not begin. Brother Lee alone couldn't do it. However gifted he might be, God gave him four women. One was an evangelist, a great evangelist in China. She traveled around China and had big meetings and many people got saved. She was the daughter of a mayor of the city. And when she trusted in the Lord, her father gave her a scissor and a rope. Asked her to commit suicide because it was a disgrace to the family. She left her home, trained in a theological school, and God began to use her mightily as an evangelist. But when she came to work together with Brother Ni, she voluntarily stopped speaking to a mixed congregation. Another sister was a great teacher. Before she was saved, she was an atheist. She was a dean of a girls' school. She burned a Bible when she found the girls had Bible. An avowed atheist, she got saved. And her Chinese was so excellent. Her writing was so excellent. Actually, Brother Lee's writing was improved by her. She was a great teacher. But when she joined Brother Lee, he stopped teaching in mixed congregation. And there are two other sisters. One sister was also a conference speaker. And the other sister was very good in writing. Very talented sisters. But they gave up public speaking when they came together and worked with Brother Lee. From that day onward, they only speak to the sisters. They only led conferences of women. They refused to speak to mixed congregations. I was a young man at that time. So when I joined them, and Tuesday afternoon there was a sisters' meeting, and these sisters were teaching. So what I did, and what some other brothers did, you know, they met in the hall downstairs. There was a stairway. And there was wall, but wooden wall, you know, in between. And you will find the stairway was lined with brothers. We were all sitting there behind the wall and listening. Why? Because God gave these sisters gifts, teaching gifts. It will be a loss if we are not benefited by it. But because we are, in a sense, narrowed or bound by a law, therefore, neither will they teach us, nor could we openly hear them. And that continued on for a number of years. Until finally, we reconsider the whole matter before the Lord. And as we consider the whole matter before the Lord, we came to a kind of understanding. We never openly say it, but we began to practice it. We discover that actually there are two different kinds of meetings in the Scripture. One kind of meeting we call church meeting. That is the time when the brothers and sisters gather together as the church. It is the time when you find gifts are being exercised. It is the type of meeting in 1 Corinthians 14. And the principle of that kind of meeting is mutuality. That is to say, it is not one person ministering to the congregation, but it is ministries that comes out of the body. So everybody participates. If anyone has a tongue, has an interpretation, has a revelation, has a song, or has a teaching, has a word, as the Lord gives, everybody try to function according to the grace and gift God has given. Now that we call a church meeting. Like breaking of bread, like prayer meeting, like fellowship meeting. You know, this kind of meeting is exercising of gift meeting. These kind of meeting are church meeting. Now in a church meeting, when the church has grown to a certain degree, there is order. And the order governs not only the sisters. The order governs the whole congregation. You know, like what we mentioned in 1 Corinthians 14. If you speak in tongues and you happen to be a brother, but there is no interpretation, be silent. Or if you are a prophet and you are prophesying and another get a revelation, well, sit down. Now that's order. And within the order, there is such a thing. If the word of God comes to the brothers, why not let the brothers speak? Give them an opportunity. And the sisters try to be in subjection, representing the church, for the church is always in subjection to Christ. And then we find there is another kind of meeting. We call that another kind of meeting ministry meeting. And by that it means people whom God has raised up as ministers of the word. Some prophets, some evangelists, some teachers and pastors, for the perfecting of the saints. In other words, it is not a body ministry. It is not a ministry that comes out of the body. On the contrary, it is a ministry that ministers to the body. It is a one-way thing. Not a mutuality. The principle is not mutuality. The principle is one way. The minister ministers to the people. And when such a meeting is conducted, it is basically a matter of gift. So if a sister is raised up by God to be a teacher, we feel she should teach in such a meeting. Why does God give her the gift of teaching, if it is only limited to teaching the women and the children, and not the whole church be edified? So we feel it is logical that if a sister is really gifted by God, that she can minister to the whole church with his gift, with her gift, she should be allowed to do so. Because it is not a church meeting. Therefore, that order does not apply. And the only thing we feel that needs to be done is, when that sister ministers to the body with her gift, She needs to be under covering. That's all that she needs. That is to say, a brother or some brothers should share the meeting to cover her, to protect her. And if anything should happen, either some people disagree or there is a discipline problem that comes up at the meeting, then the brother should take the authority of government, of administration, because that is the responsibility of the brothers. So under that, we feel the sisters who are gifted by God should not be restricted. The gift should be fully used for the building up of the church. And after we have done that, we found that the body is really edified. So that is the way we feel before the Lord. But whether you feel the same thing or not, I think it is something that we need to go before the Lord. There is no rule, there is no regulation. It is only some principles in the scripture, and in different places we are in different degree of development. And I do feel that we do not want something said as a rule that everybody has to do the same thing. Rather, we feel that it may set as a kind of reference as you seek the Lord. So the thing is, we hope that everyone will go to the Lord, every place will go to the Lord, and seek the Lord about this whole matter, and seek the Lord together. And I do believe the blessing of the Lord will come.
Verse 35, 1 Corinthians 14. Could you explain this in light of what you just shared?
But we must remember, it is not a question of gift. It is a question of order. It presumes that a sister does have the gift. And yet, because of a divine order, she is willing to be silent. So, but this verse 35 actually is in the same realm, you know. But if they wish to not him, let them ask their own husband. Sometimes, probably a brother is ministering. And as a brother is ministering the word, maybe here is a sister. She is not satisfied with what the brother has said. Probably she thinks she knows better. And maybe she does. So she began to ask questions. In public, she challenged the brother. You have said something. Now how about this? How about that? You know? And when such things happen, you know the spirit is wrong. Well, maybe that brother has said something that is not complete, even not correct. But certainly, there is an order in the church. She shouldn't raise the question in the meeting, challenging the brother who is speaking. Now let me use an illustration. When Apollos came to Ephesus, he knew the Old Testament. He knew about Christ to a certain degree. But when he was speaking, Priscilla sat there and listened. Immediately she detected something was not complete in his teaching. Did Priscilla raise the question when Apollos was ministering? Did Priscilla stop him and said, "Now what about that?" So far as knowledge is concerned, Priscilla had the knowledge. But if Priscilla should do that, it will damage the church. Not only it will damage Apollos, It will damage herself. It will damage the whole church. Why? Because the divine order is upset. Priscilla was patient enough to bear with Apollo's teaching. She listened to the very end. And then, of course, she talked with her husband. And I do believe it was her husband who invited Apollos to their home, that Priscilla can instruct him. You see the beauty of it? Priscilla did not expose herself without cover. She asked her husband. Her husband agreed with her. Her husband invited Apollos to their home. And under the covering of Aquila, I believe it was Priscilla who really instructed Apollos. And thank God, Apollos was humble enough to receive the instruction from that sister. So a teacher was made. Apollo was a great teacher. But in the process of being that great teacher, Priscilla had a helping hand in it. You know, I myself had the same experience. When I was in Shanghai, I first joined in the work with Brother Ni. I was a young man of 20 years old. I knew very little. But even so, I didn't know I knew very little. At that moment, I usually spoke for 2 hours sometimes, as if I knew a lot. But when I was in Shanghai during my first year, it was either Brother Ni who would be speaking on Sunday or I would be speaking on Sunday. And let me tell you how Brother Ni treated me. He never told me when I would speak. Our meeting began, say, at 9 o'clock. And by 7:30, he sent me a note. Only 2 words. Always 2 words. Either say, you speak, or say, I come. He held me in suspension for a whole year. And when he say, you speak, then I have to speak. This was part of my training. Sometimes he came too. He came late. He sat behind the wall and listened to me. I was told, if he was sitting there, I wouldn't speak. But these sisters that I mentioned were sitting there. I don't know where I had the courage to minister the word before these sisters, but I did. But I do thank God. One sister was so faithful. From time to time, when I went to see her, she would point out to me where I have gone wrong. Sometimes she said, you did it. There is no spirit there. Other times she said, well, when you did it, the Spirit is there. Oh, I thank the Lord for that. Because I don't know myself. I need to be helped. And this sister is almost like a mother to me. She was much older. And I thank the Lord for the help that she gave me. So, brothers and sisters, here you find, I think, with this verse, it is in that kind of spirit. You know? If you have anything to ask, ask your husband at home. It is a shame for you to speak in the assembly. You know? Either if you want to learn anything, or either if you feel that brother needs to learn something. Don't do it uncovered. Do it undercover. Now this is the way I look.
Great, we're going on. We have time for one more question. Yeah, he does. He tends to do that. You know, you ask one question, you get six answered, which is it's very economical. Are there any others now that haven't been touched upon, or something that's been said that you would like to be touched on more fully? Brother Stephen's very willing to do that, as you heard this morning. Can we check that with him afterwards? That's from him. Okay, from Lena's husband, the question is this. Before the gatherings, and she is talking specifically of here, this is in the fellowship here, the brothers get together before the meeting to pray, to seek direction for the time. Is it proper, is it right for the sisters to be there? If it is yes, why? If it's no, why? And what do you feel on that?
I think Brother Erdi should answer Well, to obey my brothers. My brothers say they have already answered that question before. Now, if that is the case, why should I answer it? In the first place, I believe their answer is my answer. In the second place, if I answer differently, I must be wrong. But if you want me to expose my ignorance, I'm willing to do that. Now, this matter of the brothers meeting before the meeting, in order to seek directions from the Lord, actually is a practice. It is not a rule. In other words, in some places you find this is practiced. In other places you find it may not be practiced at all. So when you touch this matter of practice, there is no rule. You know? It is just a matter of practice. And in different places, people may feel led to practice in different ways. And there is perfect liberty and freedom in it. You practice whatever you feel will be best for the church. If it is best for the church, for the brothers to meet together before the meeting, to seek direction from the Lord, in order that they may lead the meeting in a better way, now thank God for that. Now if people feel that it is much better if they do not do that, and just look together to the Lord together as brothers and sisters for the Holy Spirit to lead them at the moment. Now, if it works, thank God for that too. So first of all, I will say, it is a matter of practice. Therefore, you do not need to copy each other. All you need to do is to seek the Lord, and whatever the Lord say to you in one place, do it in obedience to the guidance of the Lord. And maybe after a while, that will be changed. And be willing to be changed and not to make it a kind of set system. Now, one thing we try to avoid is creating a system. Because when you create a system, gradually it will degenerate into an organization. So, first of all, I would like to clarify this point. Now, secondly, I personally happen to agree with this practice. When a congregation, a group of believers, when the number is small, I do not feel there is need for it. It is more like a family. So brothers and sisters should be together. And they should start a meeting together. If they want to seek the Lord for guidance, be together. Suppose you have only 10 people. There is no reason why the three brothers there should go aside and seek the Lord and let the sisters sit there and wait. That is too formal. It smells like a system. It is no longer a family. Don't do that. Now, that is my personal feeling. But when the company begins to be large in number, suppose you have 50, 60, 100, 150, then you do fine. There will be problems. Why? Because among the 100, 150 people, you have so many different degrees of spiritual growth. Some are newly born. Some have gone on with the Lord for some time. And because there are different degrees of understanding too. Therefore, you need some leadership in the meeting. If you do not have leadership in the meeting, it will be chaotic. You will find that it will end up being everybody does what he wants to do. The whole meeting will be just a dissipated, scattered meeting. And I think this is evident. And when you have that kind of setting, it will be good if the brothers, especially the brothers who have the burden for the church. Now, I often feel if a brother does not have a burden for the church, there is no sense of him coming to such a meeting of the brothers before the meeting. Because if he does for the church, and if he should join in with that meeting, he dilutes the meeting. He dilutes the leadership. When people say, well, how should we begin? Do we have any indication from the Lord? Now, oftentimes you'll find those who have learned from the Lord will be very slow in speaking up, but those who have not been disciplined will be very quick. In a split second, they will come forth. And after they come forth, well, try to say, well, we don't feel that is the way. Now, that would be very awkward. And sometimes you have to do it. So I would say, if there is such a meeting of the brothers before the meeting in order to seek direction, those brothers who go there should be brothers who are really concerned with the church. And because they are concerned with the church, when they come together to seek the Lord will be able to reveal his mind to them as to how, as to what the Lord wants to do in the meeting. So it is really a matter of leadership. A matter of leadership. And when you come to the matter of leadership for the whole church, this is the area that God has given to the brothers. Now, it doesn't mean the sisters do not have any leadership. If you read the scripture, you will find that the sisters do have leadership too. But the leadership for the whole church is given to men. And that's the reason why I feel at that moment some men will come together and seek the Lord together for direction of the meeting. It is a matter of leadership. But remember, if any sister who is really concerned about the meeting, it doesn't mean that because you do not attend that time, therefore you just sit there and passive. Or you just chatter. If you're really concerned, when the brothers are seeking the Lord together, you sit probably in the meeting hall. And this is the time you should support them with your prayer. You minister to the brothers by supporting them with prayers. Oh, that the Lord would give them the direction. Oh, that they may not misunderstand. Oh, that they may find from the Lord the mind of the Lord, so that the whole church may be profited. This is the way that we work together. Now, unfortunately, it is very easy. We say, well, that is the responsibility of the brothers. We are not given the responsibility. Therefore, we have nothing to do with it. We are kept out of it. Brothers and sisters, If that kind of spirit is developed, that church is doomed. Remember, it is just a matter of divine order, a cooperation. For the work to be done, you need the brothers and the sisters. The brothers may have to take a more leading part, but without the supporting part of the sisters, they could never lead. So the sisters are as much responsible for the church as the brothers. If you take this matter of responsibility in a legalistic way, it becomes a matter of position. It no longer is a matter of life. But we don't want to make responsibility a matter of position. If you have to be given a position before you can be responsible, you should not take that position. But if you are not given a position and you take up the responsibility, very soon, the position is yours. So, dear brothers and sisters, this is the way that the church works. It is very different from the way you find in the world. Now, I wonder if what I said agree with my brothers. Now, if it does, thank God. If it does not, forget what I said.
You don't have any problems, brothers, do you? Should we try and take another question? Or should we? Yeah.
We have time for one more question. Jimmy. So the question is. Mm-hmm. So the question is, during the week the Lord has shared something with you, and you're coming into to the gathering, and you checked it out with the brothers, and the brothers said, go ahead and share it, and then does it, you're concerned, how do I share it, when does it become a teaching, you know, what do I do with it, basically?
I think this matter of speaking in the church actually is only limited to teaching in an authoritative way. Why? Because you find in 1 Timothy, it is said, I do not allow a woman to teach, nor to have dominion over men. In other words, the teaching there has to do something with authority. For instance, in the matter of defining a doctrine, in the matter of interpreting the Word as the Spirit of God gives it. In other words, the teaching there is not something, suppose during the week, as you say, the Lord has given you something. As you read the Bible, He reveals something to you, and it really helps you a great deal. You know, it opens up some understanding of it. Or because during the week, as you walk with the Lord gives you an experience. You experience the Lord in a way. Now, brothers and sisters, there is nothing against divine order. If in the church you will share the experience that God has given to you, nor any against the order if you share some word that the Lord has really speak to your heart. You can do it. Only you need to be careful lest you are trying to teach in the sense of defining a doctrine. You are interpreting something as the interpretation of the Word of God in an authoritative sense. You know, teachers, actually, there are two different kinds of teaching or teachers. One kind is you just teach what you have been taught, have been instructed. It is something that has been already taught. It is not something new. It is not something that has never been discovered. But you are just passing on what you have learned. One kind of teacher. And yet you find God has raised up another kind of teacher. And it is the work of the teacher to decide on doctrines and on interpretations. Now that kind of teaching, or that kind of a teacher, is not in the realm of the women. Because God, even in His creation, has created us in such a way that there is a distinctiveness of man and woman. Generally speaking, women are more of the heart. Men are more of the mind, generally speaking, because physically, psychologically, we are made that way. And God made us that way for a purpose. That through the cooperation, this work may be done. And that is the reason why. If it is something of the heart, you can do it. If it is something of the mind, don't do it. You know, because if it is something of the mind in the sense of doctrines, interpretations, God give that to the brothers. But if it is something of the heart, that when you read a scripture, something touches your heart, and you want to share it with brothers and sisters, very good. It is good. And I think it would be a very nice thing if you check with the brothers beforehand, you know, whether the brothers feel that it is something proper to be done. And if the brothers feel that it is proper to be done, then go ahead with boldness. They cover you. If something is wrong, it is their fault.
Thank you, Stephen. I don't know about you. I find some of those things very helpful in being shared there. Okay, you still have time? Okay. Stephen can be brief. We have one more time for one more question. Okay. The question is from 1 Timothy chapter 2. And it comes down in the part which I think has been dealt with already. Verse 12 there says, I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. And I think we've dealt with that in with some of the other answers. But it goes on, for it was Adam who was first created and then Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being quiet, deceived, fell into transgression. But women shall be preserved through the bearing of children if they continue in faith and love and sanctity with self-restraint. And if we could have some comment on verse 15 there, please.
I'll try. I think to understand verse 15, we have to go back to verse 13 and verse 14. Because here he said, Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived. But the woman, having been deceived, was in transgression. Here you'll find the woman was deceived. Why? Because she was created with heart. She did everything according to her heart. But the man was not deceived because he did everything by the mind. When he was tempted, she didn't deliberate before the Lord. Instead, the heart just loved to have that fruit. And she did it. She was deceived. It was not with deliberation. But Adam, when he sinned deliberately. In other words, he knew what he was doing. Eve didn't know what she was doing in a very real sense. Therefore, the Bible says sin entered into the world among men, and that man was Adam, not Eve. Because Adam sinned deliberately. He knew exactly what he did. He knew he was against the word of God. But because she loved Eve so much, he knew that he will lose Eve forever if he did not eat that fruit. So he did. So here you'll find, again, it relates to divine order. It relates to God's creation. He created in such a way that a woman are woman of heart and a man are man of the mind. And if you are of the heart, you can be deceived much easier than you are of the mind. Now that's generally speaking, of course. But thank God, because you are a woman of the heart, therefore, this is the area that God has especially qualified you. You know? This is the area that God can use you. So in verse 15 it says, but she shall be preserved in childbearing. If a woman should step out of her realm, she will be deceived. If only she stayed with Adam. If only she will ask Adam. She will not be deceived. She will be covered. But unfortunately, she was away from Adam at that moment. So Satan got her chance, his chance. And she didn't ask the man, go back to the man and ask him. So she was deceived. But dear brothers and sisters, you look at it from another viewpoint and you'll find this is a special area of the ministry of the sisters. God has created you with a heart. And it is in that area that he wants to use you to minister and to fulfill God's word. So it says, she shall be preserved in childbearing. Now some commentators said, the woman there is Eve and the child is Christ. Because after the woman sinned, after man sinned, you know, God said, the seed of the woman shall be the salvation. So, some people believe that the woman there points to Eve, and the man and the child there points to Christ. And it is by bearing Christ, because Christ comes out of the woman. And it is because of that she is saved, she is preserved. That is where her salvation comes. She was deceived, but she is now saved, she is now redeemed, she is now liberated. That is one interpretation. Now, it is absolutely not included. It can be, it may be even basic, but I do think that this should apply to every woman. Not just to Eve, or not just to Mary, you know? Because I feel if you read, you will find the sense really as you continue in the context. But she shall be preserved in childbearing. In other words, that is her sphere of ministry. God will use her in bringing forth life. And not only to bring forth life, but, now this is something, I stick out my neck. If they continue in faith and love and holiness with discretion. Now who are they? My own feeling is that they are the children. You see, this is the ministry of women. Women, godly women, women used by God in a special area. And that area is not only to bear children, but to bring them up in faith, in love, in holiness, with the Scripture. And in doing such, they fulfill their ministry. They are preserved. And who can deny that in the bringing up of children in the family, the woman plays a much larger role than the man. The man may manage the family, but the woman actually is the life. Give the atmosphere to the family. You may usually the bringing up of the children in faith and love, the woman does a bigger part than the man. It is true they work together. But still, you cannot deny that the woman plays a much larger role in the family life. And this, I believe, is what is mentioned. In other words, do not try to go out of the realm, that God has especially equipped you with. Do not try to teach with authority. Do not try to take that leading part that God has given to man. But try to do that which God has equipped you in such a way that man are not equipped. And if you are faithful in that, that is your salvation. Now, this is the way I look at it. I leave it with you.
Stephen, we can, I'm sure we've all sort of grasped something this morning a little more clearly, but I just think it'd be good to end with this, that thought that Stephen brought halfway through there, just to underline it, that we can't just take these things and just transfer them to our own situation as a rule, as a regulation, as a law. If we feel the Lord is quickening some of these things to our hearts, we have to go back before Him and see His living way coming through. And we can't just copy one another, and we can't say, well, Stephen said it, therefore we're going to do it here and now. And I know, Stephen brought this out. So as these things have been shared with us this morning, let's take them back to the Lord. Would you bring this into our fellowship, into our way, in a living way, Lord, according to your plan and to your path. Now, have you got anything to say, Ernie? Yeah, now what about the other group? We're going to do that here and the other group do it themselves? Or? Yeah. I just have one thing to say, and if you could pass the word on this, please don't rush away from the tables as soon as you finish today, because before we leave for the tables, we need to work out transport, either if you're going to the park or back home. So please, if you can remain seated for a while, and we'll get an announcement given out. Okay? Maybe Jack, if you would give thanks for us then. This time, and then we can go straight down and get seated just as soon as possible, please.